Amen. 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 Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you for this once. Thank you, for the art of obedience. Thank you for simplicity. Oh, thank you for progressing you. Thank you because we are progressing you steadily. We are making our way steadily, progressing in you. Glory be to your holy name. Antes, talk of Antes. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for progress. Thank you for progress. Thank you because we are not deficient in the knowledge of God. Thank you because we are not deficient in quick response, in responding to the promise of your spirit. Thank you for great results in the place of the supernatural. Thank you for great results in the place of understanding. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Thank you. Be seated. Well done. Thank you for great results. Okay. Luke 24. Yes, this is what we ought to do yesterday. Luke 24, verse 22. And 24, 25. Then he said unto them, O full slow of us to believe all that the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have... Are you ready? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And what did they do? Beginning at... Okay, let me wait for you. Okay, so beginning at Moses, right? And all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. So, if you mix verse 27 right now with verse 25, so us, O full slow of us, to believe all that the prophet have spoken. So that means 27 will be, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things that are spoken about him. Spoken about him. Now, we are called believers because we value words. We are called believers because we value words. Even, in fact, the church of Jesus moves forward because the workers, the leaders, they value words. They value instruction. What they say before you is what they say behind you. What they do before you is what they do behind you. You give them instruction, they value it like an instruction from God. That is why the church of God moves forward. As much as you are still seeing your pastor, your leaders, a man is just speaking, the mission does not get done. As long as you are only seeing the humanity, nothing gets done. So the church of God, the church of Jesus moves forward because men value words. Men value words. Now, there is something very vital that I said some days ago. We are talking about faith in two dimensions, in two ways, or faith under two categories. Firstly, I said faith is to acknowledge that the prophets, the words of the prophets, they are the utterance of the prophet, they are the word of God. It takes faith for a man to be speaking and say, yes, that is God. It takes faith. And the second part is, it takes faith to see that the words of the prophet are all about Christ. Hope you remember those two explanations, right? That firstly, the words of the prophets, they are not just words, they didn't speak about themselves, they were inspired. It takes faith. Then secondly, that what they said is about Christ. Funny enough, what we call unbelief is a deviation from these two statements. What we call unbelief is actually that the deviation. When we deviate from those two statements, that's unbelief. Praise God. That's unbelief. When there's a deviation from those two statements, when you don't see the words written as the word of God, and when you don't see Christ as the intent of all that was said, That's where unbelief comes in. That's where destruction comes in. So the issue, the main issue is that disdain. Now, it's not just Moses that is speaking. It's not just David that was speaking. It's not just Abraham that is speaking. Why should I obey Moses? No, that is the point. Faith is to see the words of those men as the word of God. As the word of God. Of course, there will also be an agreement with the conscience of man. There will be that witness within man himself. There will be that agreement. Sorry, I will be a bit fast. There will be that agreement. So, believers value words. Amen, amen. Believers, they value words. They don't joke with instructions. They don't joke with what is said. Hebrews chapter 2. You will see that in both faith, God's commendation or judgment is because of either acceptance, value, or disdain for what he said. Either value or a disdain for words. For words. For what he said. A value or a disdain for what he said. Hebrews chapter 1. Sorry, chapter 2. You see, let me read verse 1. If the word, therefore, we ought to give the month earnest heed to the things which we have what? Heard. Which we have heard. Lest at any time we should let sleep. Let them sleep. See, or we should slip away from the word. See verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. You see that? Words spoken by angels was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How did this salvation come, which was first spoken, say words, spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Words. So you now see verse, next verse, that miracle signs and wonders are only to witness to the word. Miracle signs and wonders are not what God is trying to achieve. They are only a witness. Say, God also bearing them witness with signs, wonders, miracles, and diverse gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So you could see that words, miracles back up the word. The word does not back up miracles. That means you gather believers to teach them God's word. We demonstrate the things of the Spirit to ensure that the word is still received. That's why after giving them fish and bread, he ensured that he still bring them back to the doctrine of Christ. Words. See Hebrews chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you hear his voice, words, adding not your heart. God never judged anybody for not offering enough animals in the temple. God never judged anybody for not doing something. His judgment only comes when you disdain the words of the Holy Ghost through the preacher. Words. No judgment comes because you don't you didn't offer sufficient sacrifice, you didn't put sufficient blood, you didn't put it in the right place. It's when there's a disdain for words. See chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into a stress, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. Come on, if you are there, want to go. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached profit them, not being mixed with what faith in them that heard it. For which have believed do enter into a stress, as I have sworn. See that? So, words. See chapter 5. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, an act to be uttered, seeing you are, they are not you, they are dull of hearing. See chapter 6, verse 5, you have tasted the good word of God. That's a believer. Chapter 6, verse 5, you have tasted the good word of God. The good word of God. That's why it's not possible to, for the believer to perish and to be renewed again. It's not possible. I mean, to sin and to be renewed again. No. Because he has tasted the good word of God. Words. Go to chapter 10. See verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, words, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. How do you sin against knowledge? You refuse to receive it. You reject the words being said to you. But a certain fearful looking of judgment and of fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law, what Moses said, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. 29, want to go? Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy of, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto thee. So all those things you are seeing in verse 29 is a pictorial representation of disdain of words. It's the same thing as Hebrews 2. That's just a pictorial form of a man that disdained God's word. He has done despite to the Spirit of grace. He counted the blood of Jesus that sanctifies an unholy thing. You do that not by spitting on the picture of Jesus on the wall. You do that by despising the words of salvation. Or you say no when a preacher comes to you. Somebody says, what is the sin against the Holy Ghost? When the preacher brings the message of Christ to you and you say no, that is a sin that cannot be forgiven. Unless you repent. He has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Words. See chapter 12. Of course, chapter 11, you could see that in verse chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. By the word of God. So that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Chapter 12. Let me go down to verse 18. For you are not come unto the months that may be touched, that burneth with fire, or no, blackness, darkness, tempest, and the sound of trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And 21, so much terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. 22, but you have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirit of just men made perfect. Next verse, come on. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of that was speaketh better things than that of Abel. Next verse. See that you reduce not him that speaketh. Yes, speaketh. So that means that's where he's going. Don't look at, he's not saying when you don't offer enough sacrifice, when you don't come to church. Words. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. See the latter part. For if they escape not, which refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that what? Speaketh from heaven. Very serious. Very serious. God will save you, he will use words. God will grow you up, he will use words. He will not use cane. He will not use money. He will use words. God will become a man. How will the plan work? God will use words. Same way God will heal you, how will he do it? He will use words. Believers value words. They sent you a prophecy. You don't just read as you are, maybe you minimize the shout of your boyfriend in a place, the prophecy is in another place. As you are reading this one, you are checking if your guy has replied his message. You don't value words. That's your issue. You don't value words. Believers value words. We are here today because words were spoken. Amen, amen. Great things will still happen because words are spoken. So, faith is to see those words of the prophet as the word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and light was the life of men. So, and light shineth in darkness, in dark hearts, and darkness comprehends not. So, words. Amen, amen. At times, some of you expect that we should use anything else to grow you up other than words. We get there later when we look at the book of Numbers. A lot, like over 3 million people were destroyed because of wrong words. Wrong words. Two were justified because of right words. So now this will form. Let this help you in your study of the Old Testament. And the response to the word of God, the only response God is looking for is faith. Say faith. Say faith. That means it's like hear God's word and go and sleep. Just hear God's words and say, I believe. That's all. That's the only response. And say nothing in your heart. That's all. The only response, anticipated response to God's word is faith. It will say, yes, I agree with God's report. For that faith will now bat actions. But please, the actions are the work of faith. Not working for faith, but work of O-F, faith. Not work for F-O-R. So, let's look at a word again. The word promise. You should have studied this before. Let's see it again. Promise, promise, promise. Epa, epagelia in the Greek. Sorry, not granot. E-P-A-G-G-E-L-I-A. E-P-A-G-G-E-L-I-A. At times, the translators will put it as promises. I'm coming there very soon. But that word means an announcement. A pledge. A divine assurance of good. A divine assurance of good. Now, that's a verb. Now, let's see that's the noun, please. Let's see the verb. The verb is epagelion. That is E-P-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. Epagelion. E-P-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. E-P-A-G-G-E-L-L-O. That's the verb. That's the verb. It means to engage yourself to do something. That's the verb. To engage yourself to do something. To engage yourself to do something. Like making a commitment, respecting yourself. Making a commitment, respecting yourself. You know, the way we see promise today is The way we see promise today is just what somebody will do. In the Bible, it's more than that. Amen, amen. So, and of course in the Bible, funny enough, verbs always come before now. Just like the word sin. Sin was first a verb before it's a noun. It's first an action before. So it's the action that describes the nature. What is the nature of sin? A repetitive action of sin. You slap a man one day. Next tomorrow you slap again. Next tomorrow they will say you are a slapper. What started? Slap, right? Which is a what? A verb, right? So later you are now called a slapper because of continuous slapping. Okay, so that means the sinner he sins, then he's called a sinner. That means it's not that you sin because you have one inborn nature of sin that is somewhere in your hemoglobin that is swimming around waiting for expression. No, it's the action of sin. Now, the repetitive action of sin that makes Bible call some people a sinner. Sorry, you get that in... thank you, Juliet. Appeal of God. Some people think, you the nature of sin. Your old man will die. What's the old man? One, your shadow, one paracletus that is standing behind you. Dark, tall, and handsome. So, that word promise, it carries a tone of what is to be done by oneself. A tone of what is to be done by oneself. What is to be done by oneself. And very little of the time it will be done. See, a tone of more of something you will do by yourself. And very little of the time when the thing will be done. That means when I hear the word promise, my mind turns towards more of something a man has proposed to do. And very little of when he will do it. Just like, let me say, 99 ratio 1. And that one is because of man's reception. That little part is a function of man's reception. So that means if man's will is constant, it should just be 100% what God has done. That will be promise. It will be promise, it will be God's deed. Why is it called God's promise? Because it is God's faithfulness banking. Sorry, I know I'm fast. Well done. Right. Why do we call this promise? Okay, let me. So this is what I'm saying, okay? Let me explain. After this, I'll be fast. Okay. Why do we call it promise? Because there is a probability. What's the probability? It must be received. Okay? It must be received. So that means if it is sure that man will receive it, it will not be called God's promise. It will be called God's deed. D-W-E-D. D-W-E-D. It will just be called God's action. Why do we call it a promise? Why does it look like it's futuristic? Is that it's banking upon man accepting. He's expecting man to accept what he will do. What he will do. So also, in the Bible, at times you see the word promise, at times you see promises. Those are just the translators' trying to decide, okay, which one should be there, which one should not be there. But note that in the Bible, the word promise is as touching salvation. The word promise is not as touching the good things of life. It's wrong Christian theology to say God promised me a car, God promised me a house, God promised me a wife, God promised. You don't know Bible's hermeneutic. Now, Luke 24. I'll take you through over maybe 21 scripture or more. Just see how promise is used. One of the things that Paul says, I give yourself to reading. Sometimes I just take, just read. Now, Luke 24. Are you ready? 49. Okay, be fast. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. That is as touching salvation, as the Holy Ghost received upon salvation and the things of the Spirit. See Acts 1, verse 4. The same thing from that. Said he told them not to depart from Jerusalem but wait for the promise of the Father. See Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed for this which you have now seen and hear. Chapter verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, and to as many as the Lord your God shall call. Salvation. Acts 7:17. And when the time of the promise drew near, which God has sworn to Abraham. Wow. Awesome. The people grew and multiplied. When the time of the promise drew near. Awesome. Acts 13:23, of this man's seed as God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 13:32, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled them unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus from the dead, as is written in the second Psalm. Now let me, see this one, Acts 23:21. I will ask you a question from here. Acts 23:21. But do not, this is when they want to take Paul and they are trying to lay in wait for him. But do not, so the boy came to, you know, to the centurion that they should not allow them to release to Paul. You should not release Paul to them. But do not thou yield unto them, for they are lying wait for him, of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath. Please listen, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, looking for a promise from thee. Please, who can give me a synonym for promise there? Response, yes. Actually, she said what I wrote in my note, assurance. That means they want to kill Paul, right? So they want to come to the man looking for a promise. That means a commitment. That means promise there is not like a what somebody will do. No, a commitment. Looking for a promise, like an assurance from you, so that they can keep up. Let that help you to understand the word promise. Same word, Evangelion. Okay? Acts 26, verse 6. So that one is just a grammar. That one is not about salvation. It's just the same word used there. To tell you that the word promise is not about a future tense, really. It's just about what somebody will do. Just a commitment. Commitment. Assurance. Thank you. Acts 26, verse 6. And now stand... I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto the fathers. See that? Go to Romans. Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not given to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Romans 4, 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void, and what the promise is made of, none effect. Go to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that to the end that the promise might be sure. Say sure. To all the seed. Not to that only which of the circumcision, but to that which of the faith of Abraham, which is the father of us all. 20. He staggered not at the promise. So the promise of God here, is he Isaac? Hello? So would that be Isaac? No. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So that's salvation, not Isaac there. As touching Isaac, you can say he's staggered. But as touching salvation, once a believer, forever. No shaking. He staggered not. Okay? That's God's commitment. See Romans 9, verse 4. Of course. So who's at the Israelite to whom pertained the adoption, glory, covenant, giving of the law, service, and the promises. Promises. Promise, not promises. It's singular. Promise. Okay? Verse 8 now. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh. These are not Romans 9 verse 8. Come on. Look at your Bible. See, we are studying together. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. Wow. Word of promise. Word of promise. That means that word that is saying, that is being said there, looks like Isaac, but it's not Isaac. That is the communication of Christ to Sarah. Isaac is a tool of communication. Christ is the intention of communication. Isaac was a tool, or that you have a physical son was his tool, but the intention of the communication was Christ. Okay, let's go to Romans 15, verse 8. Now I said that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who confirmed the promise of God? Jesus. Romans 15, verse 8. To confirm the promise. See that all promise is right? That is wrong. His promise is singular. To confirm the promise made unto the fathers. Okay. What are the promises? A car? A mansion? A temple? No. One promise. Salvation. In Christ. The promise made unto the fathers. Promise of the things of the Spirit. Salvation. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. Look at your Bible. 2 Corinthians 1 20. For all the promise. Sorry, not promises. For all the promise of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and amen. The promise of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and they are amen to the glory of God. So don't allow the word all to put you off there. It's talking about actually singularity, not plural. There is the promise of God in Christ is yes, is amen. Okay? Chapter 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore this promises. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. For talking about chapter 6, being ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, from verse 14. For what He now spoke about, there was a quotation there. Look at it. See chapter 6 verse, that is second to the last verse there. Said, I will walk in them, I will dwell in them, I will be their God, and shall be my people. Therefore, come yet from among them, and be yet separate, says the Lord. I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. So next verse, having therefore this word, promise is singular. What you are seeing there is sonship. Are you with me? Is singular. There may be plenty explanation of the same thing. Oh, I will redeem you, I will sanctify you, I will save you. It's the same thing. Salvation is one. It's promise. It's promise. Are you getting me? So he said, I will be. No, it's just like saying salvation is becoming a son of God, right? Salvation is receiving the Holy Ghost. Salvation is to have forgiveness of sin. Now, somebody can see that and say, wow, all these things God will give you. But with a better understanding of this Bible, you will know that everything is saying the same thing. So, as well say, this thing, one, God has given you. Because by the time you are pluralizing it, before you know it, somebody has put a boo inside. Before you know it, somebody has put what? Dodokire inside. Ah, God promised me Dodokire. Hey, Olorun mi mighty low. Abi, sorry. And there's a way that we, anytime we are singing those songs that look so, I am tired of the valley. God is able to do just what he said he will do. What? He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Which promise? Don't give up on God. He won't give up on you. Hold your belly. Yes. Let Grace sing that thing for you. You know heaven will fall. He's able. See, just carry your brain away. My brain is out. Oh, God, bring. Now start looking for what is not in God. And after 56 years old, you are still praying the same prayer that you prayed on the mountain. Pardon. Amen, amen. God in Christ has done what he said he will do. Amen, amen. Just follow me. You will understand what I'm trying to say. So we say, are you saying we should not? Hey, are we saying we should not receive? Mama, bong what you mean, sir? Sorry, that means don't hear what I didn't say. Come. So which scripture did we read last? 2 Corinthians. Okay. Coming. Oh, okay, my Bible is second. Okay, went to 2 Corinthians 6 to read into 7. Okay. Now go to. Which one should we go to next? Don't Corinthians. That should be Galatians, should be next. Okay. Let's enter Galatians chapter 3. This one is much. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 16, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promise made. He said now to seed as of many, but see that if you are saying, because if you are saying the promise there is many, then the latter part will be different. But see, he said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, hallelujah, and to thy seed, which is what? Christ, amen. So wherever the promises, all the promises, there are things that are available in Christ. Yes, you can use Ephesians 1:3 to describe it. Okay, we are blessed with every spiritual blessings. Well, it's actually a spiritual blessing. Everything you are seeing there is to describe one thing. You are a son of God, and that's one. Okay, your baby is how many things to you? Say, you are down at Bubu. You are my cook. You are my daughter. You are my... Shut up! She's only one thing. She's your daughter. That's all. Hallelujah. Say, I'm satisfied with my in Christ identity. Okay? We have read verse... Now, 17 is saying the same thing. Said, and this I said, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise. See that? See that? Promise, singular, right? Of non-effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Self-assurance, self-commitment. What I will do. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? No promises. See, they have put promises again. The promise of God. God forbid. See, 22. But the scripture had concluded all under sin. That the what? Again? Promise. See, singular again. Are you with me? So that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It's just a type of description. When they use the word promises, they are trying to describe plenty things in one. But it's actually promise. It's the same thing. Well, I will go to that later for you. See 29. If you then be Christ, please let's read 29 together. If you then be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Promise. Chapter 4, 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. 28. And now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children. Is it of promises? Of promise. Ephesians 1:13. You have received the Holy Spirit of. Is it of promises? Man, may you not receive Holy Ghost of promises. Amen. I mean, you receive the Holy Ghost of potter, Holy Ghost of dimension, Holy Ghost of... No, no. Hallelujah. You are Ephesians 1:13. You have received the Holy Ghost of promise. Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Having no hope. Then, see Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ. Promise in Christ. First Timothy 4 verse 8, bodily exercise profited little. But the godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life, which now is and of that which is to come. 2 Timothy 1 verse 1. 2 Timothy 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life. Promise of life, which is where? In Christ Jesus. So we don't call the things we have in Christ, we don't call it plural. Singular. Hebrews 4 verse 1. Hebrews 4 verse 1. Almost everybody use the word. Because that describes God. Promise. Self-commitment. Okay. Hebrews 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. See that any of you should come short of it. See, verse 12, you think guy they wrote what they like again, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Patience with God or patience with yourself? It's patience with yourself in the school of learning, in the school of discovery. That is with the men that is that struggling to understand if Jesus is a true intention of the scripture as the people of Hebrews. Okay, if anything you remember, just write it down. I'm not repeating that. Amen. Okay, Hebrews 6:13. I see, I have repeated that. So I was saying that Hebrews 6:12, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise, not promises, is promise. So I said patience there is patience with what? Is it patience with God or with yourself? It's with yourself. With yourself in the school of learning. With yourself in the school of learning. That means because they are people, they are trying to discover. Just like, let me use the word, those guys in Berea, you know, they had to go back home to search, okay? To search. Imagine somebody, we are searching now, okay? They have not yet believed, so they are searching. If Jesus is the true identity of the scripture, imagine somebody said, I beg, I am tired. I am going home. This is too long. You know, then they don't even have patience, right? They will have to read the whole of Isaiah, and they are unlikely to have Isaiah 53 in a chapter. You just be reading, so that they can see Christ. Are you with me? So Paul is saying, the writer of the Hebrews was saying, you need faith and what? And what? So the patience there is patient with yourself in the school of discovery. Just like as we are here now, we are teaching. Some of you are tired. Some of you are weak, weary, battered, bruised, broken for us. Yet, for your spiritual growth, what must you do? Patient with yourself. Pastor, I should have grown all this while. Sorry, I didn't grow too like that. Amen. Amen. So I'm just explaining patience there with you. You know, somebody can read patience and say, yes, guys, don't worry. In case the thing did not come, it will come. You understand? So don't tarry, right? Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Higher. 2020 is not over until it's over. Guy, let me tell you the truth. It is over, right? the dollar is up again. It's over. US flight has not resumed. It's very over. Sorry, it's not over for you. You can preach the gospel, right? So your own is not over. Amen. Amen. That's your life. Oh. That's what I can promise you. That's what I can promise. Sorry, relax. Okay. 6 verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. See that? Now you go to Hebrews 6:17 now, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Hebrews 6:7-6. Sorry, well done, we're almost there. Relax. I think Hebrews is not the last one that uses this thing. Peter uses it too. Okay, 7:6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. Promise. What Abraham had is one thing. Promise. Promise. Are you with me? Sorry, where do we study Hebrews 7? Is that Jesus? Your salvation? Your Jesus. Okay, awesome. Sorry, it's mine too. Hebrews 8:6. Now you can see. Now let's read this one and let's see if the word there should be promise or promises. Okay, Hebrews 8:6. But now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better. Establish upon a better Promise or promises? Your promise. C-sharp. Just see, after you enter, unhook yourself. See from verse 1. It's clear. See Hebrews 8 from verse 1. So, you know, see, now of the things which you have spoken, this is solved. Okay, we have an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary. Somebody is wondering that, why are we reading all this? Is the Bible now? Is it not the Bible? Is it my book or the Bible? So, get used to it. Okay? That's what you should have been doing all this while. So, you are only too late. Get used to it. Thank you. So, a minister of the sanctuary or a true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man, for every high priest, a paracletos, now, for Christ's sake. But you have been telling me to look at the Bible when I'm teaching. Be good. Okay, for every high priest is ordained to offer gift and sacrifice, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have someone to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are many priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things. Okay? As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make tabernacles, that see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed thee on the mount. But now, as he obtained a more excellent what? Ministry. Say more excellent. Now, by how much is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon a better promise? Because what was actually happening is that he was comparing and contrasting. He was comparing what they have under the law, okay? All the probability, all the... Let me explain, okay? Let me say this way. Inside the promise of God, there are words. For instance, under the law, we have repetitive sacrifices, right? Under the law, we have undying, we have priests that die. But under the promise, we have constancy. Under the promise, we have God's commitment. Under the promise, we have different words that describe the same thing. So he's saying what Jesus will do was established upon, he used what the better promises, because it is contrasting with what? Contrasting with the law. But what he will do actually is a better promise. So again, why do we have so, but in English, in the way it is said, if you use promise there right now, it will not really work. Okay? Because you are contrasting two things. Don't worry. Let's see the next one. That is Hebrews 8, 6, right? See Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. 15. And for this cause, he is a mediator of a better, sorry, of New Testament, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise. Is it promise or promises? Promise of eternal inheritance. So, again, so I was saying why it used the word promises there is just because of that contrasting. So, just the way it can work in English. But what you actually, what Jesus does is a better promise. A promise. That's just better. A promise. So, Hebrews 10, 36. Hebrews 10, 36. For you need the same thing I explained a while ago. For you have need of patience after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith, they sojourn in the land of promise. Yes, of the same promise. Verse 13, I haven't received the promises. But, okay, let me read that one. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. But I haven't seen them afar off. and were persuaded of them that were strange, embraced them that were confessed, see that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It's promise, oh, it's Christ, Christ for you. Okay, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise, what that's what he received, okay, offered up his only begotten son. Hebrews 11, 13, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained, well, promises here, could he be talking about, subduing kingdoms, rotting righteousness, stopping the mouth of lions. Yeah. So this one may be talking about the things that the actions of their faith. Yeah. Actions of their faith, not really their faith. Their faith is the promise received. In the actions, well, women receive their dead raised back to life. ETC, that one promises different things as a result of the promise received. Different things received as a result of the promise received. Well done. Now 39. Come on, don't get tired. Just look at it. Look at it. 39. And this all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the what? Promise. Go to 2 Peter now. See Peter. Oh, John did something. I'm coming there very soon. Just four scriptures under promise, and I will not bore you again. 2 Peter 3 verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? See that? Promise of his coming. That's people who are scoffers, who are unserious people. They're saying, yeah, okay, you are saying rapture is coming or whatever. Where is the promise of his calling? All the fathers fell asleep. Everything continued the same way. And Peter said, these guys, they are just ignorant. Verse 9 now said, 2 Peter 3 verse 9 now said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. See that? It's not slack concerning his promise. It's talking about the glorification of believers all in the same salvation. Now, see 1 John 1 verse 5. Whoever interpreted it just did one nice thing. 1 John 1 verse 5. 1 John. Sorry, the last one is 2 Peter 3 verse 9. Now, 1 John 1 verse 5. Are you there? This then is the what? Is the, guess what? That's the word promise. Hope you know you cannot say this is the messages. That means Ekanka, Ekwa is Christian, but Ekanka is not Christian. Church of Mormon, what else? Judaism, everything. These are the messages. No. This is the what? Say singular. Yeah, there's a message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him, amen, is no darkness at all. And lastly, chapter 2, verse 25, 1 John 2, 25. Maybe this one will just clear for you. When you read this one, you should just go, man, just relax. And if you have written a calendar of, okay, God, on so-so date, you will give me this. God, on so-so date, you will. God, I know you promised me. You go and tear it right now. Amen. 1 John 2, 25. One to go. And this is the promise that he has promised us. Evil. But glory. No, that will not make you sad. Amen. You know, amen. You know, John just capped this off in a very good way. Say, this is the promise, and it's eternal life. So the carnal man will not be satisfied with this. Say, no, that cannot be enough. No. Now, please listen to me right now. Say, God is acting alone in salvation. Now, the reason why you may be agitated is because quickly you have forgotten the meaning of the word promise. Promise is not what God wants to do. Promise is simply God's commitment to you. God's commitment all by himself. Welcome, Jesus. All by himself. So God's promise to man is the same as his intention for man, which is salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. Again, I said this earlier, it looked like futuristic because the will of God, okay, I will be slow. It looks like futuristic because the will of God banks on God's faithfulness and man's acceptance of God's faithfulness. The will of God is a product of God's faithfulness plus man's acceptance. That's better. Man must accept. Man's acceptance of God's commitment, of God's faithfulness. God is saying, I am committed, but man must receive. So that's why it looks like futuristic. That's why it's looking like a promise in the sense of our own interpretation of promise. But glory to God, the promise is actually singular. It's singular. So when you see, be unto me according to your word, according to your promises, what are you asking for? Amen? It's according to your promise. And that song is for the crusade grand. Amen, amen. It's for men to receive salvation. Be it unto me according to your promise. What was the promise? The promise that God has made to the Father, he fulfilled the same to us in that he raised up Jesus from the dead, as it is written in the second Psalm. Okay, somebody will ask me, what of healings? Listen, what of healings? Now, healings may mirror how God saves us. Yeah. Healings may mirror the pattern of salvation. But utterance and documentation does not call healings a promise of God. Utterance and documentation does not call healings a promise of God. Again, let me say that again. It may mirror the pattern of salvation. But utterance and documentation does not call healings a promise of God. Thank you for getting that. What is healings? Healings is healings. Amen. Amen. Say healings is healings. That means God heals us and we are healed. That's all. So this is the issue. What is the title of this series? Can the Bible be wrong? Say we are men that shows to respect the didache of the Bible. Now, we chose to respect the doctrine of the Bible. It's just like when you are in Jamaica, you speak like what? A Rastafarian, right? When you are in Enugu, Chimo, hey, Ewo, yes, it's okay, right? When you are in Lagos, Oshie, pardon me, but like change, those are the languages, that are the slangs, right? Huh? That means when I'm in the Bible, okay, when I hear the word promise, what comes to my mind? Salvation. Is that clear? Now, if I said that God does not heal us, but what are we studying? Promise, right? That means we have Bible words. We use Bible words Bible way. This is key. This is key. This is how you not have another denomination in Christianity. Hey, are you with me? This is the reason why you not have... God. Hope you know, once you choose... Okay, for instance, like I have said before, what is the definition of righteousness in the dictionary? Who knows? A just man, yes. Any other thing? Ma? A man that is not doing wrong, right? But do you know, but sir, lawyers, what is it? Sorry, there's only one here. Okay, Enya is there too. But what is the meaning of a righteous man in the court of law? Huh? Is this a man that there was not that nobody brought a charge against him? But a man has been what? Now that definition is what the Bible mirrors. You get me? Now we have righteousness as a man that did not do wrong. He's righteous. He's awesome. Funny enough, that first definition, now listen to me, oh, the first definition of a man that did not do wrong, that is what Jesus mirrors in the incarnation. But a man that is declared right is what we are called in the resurrection. Now you can see righteousness in two ways. Same Bible. I don't know what I said. It's not written down. Okay. I said righteousness in two ways, okay? Jesus, hope you know, like, he has no sin, right? He was, how did he put it? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Now, that one is literal. Very literal. But you, when we say you have no sin, what are we saying? You are forgiven. Was Jesus forgiven? No. Amen. That is God becoming, that became a man. So, coming to righteousness, Jesus is righteous because he knew no sin. You are righteous because your sins are forgiven and you are declared free. Amen, amen. So you will see that means if I am talking in the incarnation, now, okay, who can, if I sing this song now, okay, let me, the way I ask my musical question, I will sing a song, then you can argue for or against. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside him. Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none holy as the Lord. Only you are holy. Only you are wonderful. For there is no... Oh, hold your belly. Come on. You must sing it out. Oh. She's already crying. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Before you finish it. So, who wants to argue for? Who wants to argue against? Come on. I need two people for each. I support the song. I counter the song. Come on. Feel free. Yes? Right, Jesse? Want to go? Oh, come on. Let somebody help me. Where's the microphone? Yeah. Argue for or against that song? I mean, support or... No, you like song. You want support? Awesome. Support.
God knew no sin. That's why he's
good. We didn't hear. No, that's... Is that how you do debate? You first start with co-debaters, accurate, thank you. Come on. Yes?
All right. God knew no sin. That's why we call him holy.
God knew no sin. God!
Yes.
Want to give you sin before? Okay, yeah. Who can argue better? Yes, Anu, come on. Give her the microphone. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay, God is holy, we know that, but that only make it wrong.
Huh?
Yes, that only you.
Are you arguing for or against?
No, against.
Against? Okay, we are still looking for four. What are the people for? Come on, who is four? You are four. Awesome. You are four. Yes. Somebody at the back there? Four. You are four. Give Vivian first. Come on. You are not four. You are four. Okay. You are five. Yes.
I think.
What do you think?
Because of God's sovereignty, of being the one who makes men holy.
Yes.
That's why it can be attributed to him as being holy. Like, there is none holy as the Lord. Like, I'm talking about, because he has sovereignty of being the one making men holy. He's the one that planned salvation. He's the one that executed it. It is within his sovereignty. to make men holy.
Awesome. Because he's the one that makes others holy, right? So if I say you are the holy, are you with me? Yeah, a song.
Okay,
yes?
Depending on the person singing the song, the understanding of the person, as she said, God has done something that no man can do.
Yes.
So we can actually say God is the only one in context of that reality that
only one
offered salvation that no man can actually offer.
So if God has a limousine, what would be his plate number? Only one. Yes, sir.
So that's why we can say God is actually holy. But then it now depends on the person singing it. We are not saying that we are not holy, actually. We are just saying that we do not have the power to actually give salvation. But God gave us salvation and we received it. The receiving of the salvation that God gave to us is the reason we are holy. But then the only person that has the ability that sovereignty, as she said, to actually offer salvation to the whole of humanity.
Man of God.
God himself.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, small saint. Sorry, you're no longer small. Amen. I have to change that. Find a better word for you. Yes, mighty saint.
Okay, it depends on the context.
Okay.
I will stop at incarnation. Then I will say God alone is holy. But the moment I enter resurrection, then he alone is not holy. I am also holy as
it. Are you arguing for or against? You will not be paid. You are for both sides of the coin. Okay, before we go back to four. Okay, against. Everybody. Huh? That's it for. Awesome. The fours are better. Yes.
In the sense of the song, sing only you are holy. Okay? And there is no one else like you. There is no one else as holy as God. In the sense that he knew no sin, like he said.
Yes.
But we are acquitted and justified by what he has done.
So yes.
In that sense, only God is holy.
There is a phrase in that song that you guys forgot. When I box you, always unbox yourself. He is comparing God amongst what? Is it men? Sing it fully now. Anna song. No, Anna. So, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside him, right? Neither is there any rock like our God. There is none. So, what is he doing? Okay, what of among all the gods who is like thee? What is it? That one is Exodus 15, right? So, what has that person done? God and who? And idols, right? Because that is a song of deliverance from Egypt. He just compared God with all the gods that Moses judged where? In Egypt. So now, from the small thing we have said right now, have you seen that the song can both be correct and wrong? That is why we must teach more than we sing. Now, if we suddenly sing that song right here, right now, some people's mind will be for, some people's mind will be against. Just like I sang, I taught you God's word. I'm now here. I was singing. Give me grace. This feel of. And some of you will be. Some of you will be doing. Am I not filled? Hallelujah. Praise God. So now this is the point. So you must respect the. We must all respect the understanding of the Bible. The understanding. And that is why now all my choirs they are now doing overdue of it. They do. You don't sing without explaining. Well, songs, you know the way songs are scripted? Songs are scripted to be like poetic, right? Like short, eh? Short, so that it can be musical, right? How do you put Ephesians chapter 1 inside music? Blessed be God who bless us with all spiritual blessings. Yes. You're just tired. Or put Hebrews there. Try Hebrews 10. Put it there. Or Hebrews 11. By faith. No, that will work. Anything can do that easily. So, this is what I'm saying. We are men that chose to respect that Bible hermeneutic. The Bible's way of expression. At times, a phrase, a clause can just change the whole thing. And the way I love to say this is that God is holy alone as the incarnation. He is holy in saving us. He is alone in that. We give him... Okay, do you praise yourself when we are singing? Since I am now holy as the Lord, I now praise myself like I praise God. Is that what you say? Yeah? So when we say God, we are holy, in that song, that's why choirs, please ensure your songs are thorough. As immediately you said, I am righteous. Somewhere in the song, you must quickly tie your righteousness to the source. You know what I say? Before you enter Christian science, see Ephesians 1. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us. Are we blessed? But where did we start from? Where do we? We are brought by who? He said, brought by God.
He was brought by God.
We know. So that means, yes, I'm a new creation, but I'm a brand new man, but, things are passed away, but I'm born again, but, more than a conqueror, that's who I am, but, I'm a new creation, incomplete! Ow! That song cannot get a man saved. You told us who you are. How did you get there? So, if I'm singing that song, I must ensure that who is there? Who is there? Only believers. Only saints. Once I just see, Opa, go save you. So, quickly, that is why, and look at that First Corinthians 14. He told you that you must put in mind the outsiders, right? If you're all speaking in tongues and they're coming in and unlearn, right? So you must put that. Someone may enter the church and he's not yet convinced like that. Why are you new creation? What are you saying? Yeah, because of what Christ has done. So that means to make a song universal, you must what? You must make it thorough. Amen, amen. Say, I have a source. So that's God. You will see Jesus, you want to talk about himself. You say, as I see the Father do, I do. You just say, yeah, guys, I do. I'm the doer. I'm the deed. I have done. As I said, okay, see your salvation. See John 11. Is it John 11? John 10, 28. John 10, 28. I'm teaching you how to preach, how to sing. John 10, 28. Come on, let's read. Yes? And I give, from 27, yes? 27, sorry. Hear my voice. Know them, and they follow him. And what? Hold on. My sheep follow my voice. I know them, they follow me. So who saves? Jesus, right? But in describing it, next verse, yes, 28. I give them eternal life. Neither. Next verse. Wow. Hold on. Sorry, if he has stopped in 28, is it still valid? Huh? But why 29? source. Say source. My father, which gave them me. You know, you mentioned my father. He has talked about the prophecies. Because how did the father give them the prophecies, the incarnation? Immediately he went back to the prophecies of the Old Testament. My fathers, which gave them me, are greater than all, and no man. Sorry, okay, you're writing, 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 writing. Come on, come on. Okay, are you there now? My fathers, which gave them me, is greater than all. Yes, I'm quoting. And no man is able to. Next verse now. I and my father are one. Awesome. That is how to preach. Say we are men that respect the words of the scriptures. Thank you. Thank you. Now you understand that. Just like, okay, let me ask you this question now. Who has a village here? Who is from Kogi here? Anybody from Kogi? Sanu? Billet? Okay, who is an idol worshiper in Kogi State? She's scared. Not you. Pastor, is it scared? Help us. So, who do we call an idol worshiper in Benin? Everything to help us. Somebody that what? Bows before Ayelala, bows before Shigidi, bows before all those things. In the New Testament of the Bible, who is an idol worshiper? Yeah? Who? Anybody who what? Sir Yunus? Who places things, well, like I wrote in my notes, an idol worshiper to us is more of a man with higher priority with the gospel of Christ. Anything. That means your boo-boo can be an idol. Your keyboard for your Nelua can be an idol. Your hairstyle for effect can be an idol. Your earring like Vivian can be an idol. What else is in this place? Yours. Amen. Anything of higher priority more than the gospel of Christ. That's why 1 John chapter 5, last verse, says, little children, keep yourself from idols. And he was not talking about Shigidi. Or Lalude. Or whatever. A good family, education can even be an idol. So also, if you are typed salvation in the dictionary, they can tell you plenty things. But in the Bible, salvation is the work of a savior. Pay attention to that. Salvation, when you hear the word salvation, who do you talk about? The recipient or the savior? Savior. You don't talk about what the recipient did, you talk about what the savior did. Just like if you heard The Expendables. Who knows that movie? Expendables, right? In that movie, we may not even know the names of the people who are delivered, right? Those who are rescued. The movie is about who? The rescuer. So salvation is about who? The rescuer, not the rescuee. There's anything like that. Is that rescuee? Oh, thank you. The rescued. Man, you know, you are there to supply the lacking parts in my terminology. So also, promise in our Bible is as touching salvation, not money, not the good things of life. Amen, amen? Praise God. It's as touching what God all by himself. So promise in our Bible is as touching salvation. Not money, not the good things of life. Not the good things of life. No. It's as touching what God all by himself is capable of doing to whoever says yes to his will. It's right down that definition. That's my best. is astonishing what God, all by himself, is capable of doing to whoever says yes to his will. Whoever says yes to his will. So that is Bible's hermeneutic for you. That is how the prophet used the word promise. That's, yeah, whoever says yes to his will. So, again, the probability in God's promise is man. 30 minutes. The probability in God's promise is man. That's the probability. The delay factor is man. Why was the thing delayed? All this why? Why didn't Jesus come since the days of Sam? The delay factor is man. The probability is man. If man's will is predictably yes, then it will be called God's deed, not God's promise. It will just be called what God has done. God does not prepare to save. He's ready to save. Amen, amen. He doesn't prepare to save man. I am your salvation. Banking on when man will receive the word. Well, now, that is my introduction. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. You have a 2-day sermon. Since you have enjoyed the Holy Ghost yesterday, you must enjoy me today. 1 Peter, is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? What did I just said? Is it 1 Peter 1, 9. Thank you, sir. Pastor IBK. 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired, and search diligently who prophesied of the grace which that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify when it testified before and the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Okay. What's that time? Coming. All of us. That's that preaching, sir. Okay, around 7:30, right? No? 6:30. Okay, awesome. Yeah. Okay, please, I give you guys 5 minutes to ease yourself. Get water. And you gave me water. So please, cut off live stream. We continue after 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Amen.